Good morning, Jacqueline Magnay.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Going very well. We're just having
an experiment. What I want to know is it when they have their glasses on or off when they have the flag in?
Yeah, I don't know. Out. Now, Jack, do you play golf? And if you're a golfer, do you leave the flag in or do you take it out?
Well, it depends if I can see the hole. That's why I'm asking about the glasses.
Well, Adam Scott left the flag in yesterday. It didn't help him. He had an absolute shocker. What did he officially? He missed six consecutive putts under 10 feet, Adam Scott.
That's not good.
No, that's not good.
Not good for your confidence, is it?
And he faded away. What about the fallout from the World Club Challenge? We just talked about the Roosters doing a good job against Wigan.
They came out firing from the start, and it really got Wigan on the back foot. And, you know, two tries straight away to Steve Morris, playing in the centres, a bit unusual for him. But
right.
he was on fire, and, you know, Wigan just couldn't claw back that margin. But in the second half, they were certainly far more robust than what they were in the first half. And it made for an amazing match, really, 22,000 people on a Sunday evening. In Wigan, it was quite entertaining. The fallout from this is the big question. Every year we hear this, is there going to be a set date or a position on the calendar for when this match is going to be held? Now, Trent Robinson's saying, we need to know, it needs to be set in stone. It can't be good enough that come November, we then have a decision, are we going to go to the other side of the world and play a game in basically the lead up to the start of the season or not. It's treated over here as a really big success, and obviously clubs over here want it to continue and they want it to be played over here, and we want to see the best Australian teams come over. So, but obviously there's a reluctance of the Australian team to do that. So there's, you know, the same old questions, same old issues keep coming up. Adrian Lamb, of course, the Wigan coach, he was just saying it's unbelievably fantastic for the game, for everybody, and he definitely wants it to continue and wants to have it also just set in stone. So somebody hopefully can get their heads together about this.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Jack. I think everyone needs to know by the start of the year that if you win the competition here in the NRL and you win it in the Super League, then that's the date, and it's the date going forward, so everyone knows. I'm not quite sure where it should fit in the calendar, whether it's straight after the grand final or at the start of or the end of February. But it needs to be locked in somewhere.
We've got rep footy normally after the grand final, and the players deserve a little bit of. Imagine if they went straight over.
Yeah, but if you're either for this concept or you're not. Yeah, yeah, and if you want the concept to remain, it should be locked in. And as Trent Robinson said, probably not 20 years, but you need to have a 5-year program for this type of thing at least. But moving on, what's the latest with Caster Semenya and her sort of ability to compete as a woman?
Well, it's in the Court of Arbitration for Sport again today. It's this issue that's been going on for a decade now. She's 28, Caster Semenya. I feel like we've been speaking about her forever. Now, she's been classified as having a difference of sex development, a DSD. Now, we've also known that she's intersex. We know that she's had various, not abnormalities, but differences to what other women have. And she's the IAAF is saying she has to take medication to bring down her testosterone levels. She's had an unfair advantage against others in the field, and the Court of Arbitration, she's taken that decision to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. Of course, ethicists and certain human rights people are saying, look, that's not fair on the part of Semenya, that she needs to take this medication to be able to compete. A lot of female athletes who she competes against, though, say, hey, you know, it's really not fair that we're competing on an unfair level. So this is in court again. It's the athlete against the governing body, the IAAF. And there's some big heavyweight scientists on both sides coming to the argument. So I don't think we'll hear the end of this week at all.
No, it's been a saga, hasn't it? Look, we were discussing this earlier on this morning, Jacqueline, this proposal for the six best rugby union sides from the Northern Hemisphere to play the six best rugby union sides from the Southern Hemisphere and how it would actually work. It looks like it's getting towards maybe happening. What's the latest?
Well, it's going to be decided in the next couple of weeks. There's a big meeting that's going to be held in the beginning of March. It all centres around TV rights deals that are going to be negotiated around that time, with the Sanzar broadcast going forward for 2021 to 2025. So the Wallabies are very keen for this to happen. They're very on board with it. Some of the Six Nations clubs, though, perhaps, you know, they're saying, well, why do we need to do this? We've got a great, robust competition in the Northern Hemisphere now, and we have the Southern Hemisphere come over and play us. So they're seeing that they're going to have to tour a little bit more, so there's more resistance from the Northern Hemisphere. But at this stage, it does look like it's going to go ahead. The top six from each competition, hemisphere, they're going to play each other once a year. So the Australian, the Wallabies, they're, you know, traditional spring tour, that will now form part of this global world rugby tour. So, you know, I mean, the governing body is looking at the broadcast dollars and that it creates another level of competition instead of just having these one-off international matches. It creates a competition for it. And the top, I think they're having the top three or the top four teams would then play, you know, a bit of a round robin with, you know, a grand final each year.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If you do that, you'd have four Kiwi franchises, probably, because they'd be, you know, they'd be four of the best teams in the Southern Hemisphere. You'd have one from South America and you'd have one from Aussie. So how do they stop that from happening?
Well, that's still to be determined whether they then have a limit on how many teams could come from one particular country.
Yeah.
So, you know, they would want to split it up, I would suggest, for
of
that
course they would.
Casting right
yeah.
to have it, you know, of interest all around the world, not just some parts of the world.
Yeah.
But
you don't actually get the six best teams from the Southern Hemisphere, because four of them are definitely Kiwi sides. Sorry.
Oh, I don't know.
No, but that's true.
The Australian team.
So always look, he's always looking for a loophole, Jack.
Well, you haven't. You've got the Crusaders, the Hurricanes, the Chiefs and the Highlanders. Mm. All won more games last year than the Waratahs, who finished on top of the Aussie Conference. Yeah.
Well, they're doing something different, Terry.
Okay.
They're doing something different. Stop being negative. Stop looking for loopholes.
I'm not looking for anything. I'm just stating the obvious. And F1 testing's underway.
It is. It's a very exciting time of the year for F1 fans. And, of course, Daniel Ricciardo, our favourite motor racing driver, in the Bumblebee, the Renault. He took to the track this afternoon. He did about 44 laps. He finished 11th in the list of fast times, but you can't really equate the times because various teams have different fuel loads and are testing different parameters of the car, so you can't really compare one to the other. But the Ferrari is looking very fast. Sebastian Vettel was clear; he was breaking track records out there in testing today, so he was looking very slick. Daniel Ricciardo is learning French. He was saying that he's one of the reasons he decided to go to Renault was he felt that it was more of a challenge, but also that it kind of released a bit of pressure on him, that he felt that Red Bull was under enormous pressure year on year, and with the change of engine, staying with or going to Honda, that there's far more pressure and risk to stay with Red Bull than what it would be to be released of all that pressure and go and compete with Renault, because there's no expectations on Renault to perhaps finish, you know, in the top two or three this year. So that's an interesting mindset from Daniel Ricciardo in what he's thinking, but he's certainly in very happy frame of mind at the moment. And, you know, after today's session, he was just saying he was just pleased to get in the car and to put in a, you know, consistent lap and to just get a feel for the car at this stage.
Fantastic. We wish him all the best. It's going to be exciting with his new new car, new team, and let's hope a happy Daniel Ricciardo. Thanks, Jack.
Okay, thanks, guys, and I'll see you in Sydney next week.